Here I feel like I'm completely among friends. You may not all know each other, but we all know each other, that is to say, you and I. And some of you know each other too. And that's very symbolic, I think, of what brings us all here together. There was a quote I wanted to put into my PowerPoint slides, but I forgot. I saw it several years ago, and it came across Twitter yesterday, and I thought, ah, yes, that's perfect. And that it's that great things are made out of lots of small things. And in many cases, you know, unless there's many small things, it's unlikely that you'll have one great thing. There's no such thing as one great thing that's made completely by one person without any collaboration, you know, between others or with others. But the theme that comes from Van Gogh, by the way. Did I say it came from Van Gogh? No, it comes from Vincent Van Gogh. I mean, he was talking about his paintings, or rather, you know, the style of Impressionism and Expressionism more especially, where, you know, these dots and these little things put together then make these lovely new pictures. The theme for these 2 days is about ensuring longevity, and not just for the M3P, but more specifically for online collaborative memory projects. And as you'll see, although what we do is very M3P-centric, if you will, it's not exclusively about the M3P. So what I'm going to do for the next few minutes is make sure, you know, I open a little window so you can all peek into where my head is today and where it will be tomorrow, by looking at some very basic ideas that I'd like to share with you. I've shared many of these, if not all of these ideas, with you, or with some of you at least individually. And let's see, I should probably do this. So give me a better... So in essence, if we start with, and again, see, another old friend who I haven't seen for many, many years, who used to be a fellow musician. Hello, Ed. So in essence, what we're looking at is, if we look at a basic, you know, what, how, and why, the what would clearly be developing a strategic system for collecting data, materials, memories, documents, and recordings. So what, as you can see, is not just the M3P, right? What can relate to all sorts of other things. It could be, you know, this thing that has weighed on Steve's mind for all these years, this idea of a national audiovisual archive, for example. It could be Jez's, you know, popular music archive for Birmingham. It could be all sorts of other things. How, to me, I think I should have put a full stop at the end of that. It's a collaborative exercise. I wouldn't dare put an exclamation mark, but I think I'll let Tony eventually, if not this weekend, you know, when he progresses with his own PhD research, you know, tell us how problematic this idea of collaboration and the collaborative elements really are. And why is to recuperate and to preserve the past, because it helps us understand the present to shape the future, as the cliche goes. And I know as well that Tony, again, is playing with these ideas of the relationship between the past, the present, and the future. And I was very, very, I was going to say amused, but I think the actual word is impressed, when on his M3P user page, Tony originally had that he's interested in the past, and recently he changed that to say he's interested in the future. Because there's no point in being interested in the past unless you have a passion for the futurist. And being a futurist, clearly, you know, that excited me very much. For those of us in this room who are already fairly familiar directly with the M3P, you'll know that I don't really see this as a music memory project, which is why I've titled it the Malta Media Memory Project. So it goes beyond music into the associated arts. And so there I see other aspects of music, going beyond even popular culture into dimensions such as the radio, television, theater, visual arts, sports, dance, you know, and other related arts and popular entertainments. And I'm hoping that over this weekend we'll get a chance to address some of this even more. The idea of a collaborative methodology is really and truly at the heart of what we're trying to do here. I think this is an essential element. Firstly, that the contributions come from the same people or venues creating the original artifacts that we're after, in collaboration with their admirers and private collectors. So this isn't simply a matter of digitizing the archives at PBS. This is about bringing all sorts of other elements that relate to that together, or at least, you know, that's the vision that I hope we all share. Working collaboratively is something that, for me at least, comes through the practice of the Wikimedia Foundation, which is why, you know, there are several elements that line us up with some of the work that this other nonprofit organization does. And aside from anything else, you know, they do run one of the most successful collaborative projects that doesn't have a commercial bent to it, and that would be Wikipedia. The commercial one, obviously, is Facebook, but they don't run that. In this way, we aim to develop and maintain open content, and this is where things like intellectual property rights start coming in, and which is why clearly we'll have this first session, as soon as I shut up in about six lights time, on intellectual property rights. But again, this idea of a wiki-based project, because that facilitates a collaboration most easily on the web. And I know that Darren will have quite a bit to say about this tomorrow. At least that's what you've indicated to me, haven't you, Darren? Which is wonderful. And also to provide the full contents of the project to the public, which, again, I think is really essential. And this is why I think, more than any other reason, you know, our colleagues at the National Archives are on board with this collaboration. And all this is achieved through the creation of a specific multimedia wiki, which we, at least with M3P, have started to do, but also regular solicitation of participation through networking, which is what the workshops downstairs over today and tomorrow will be all about. Those of you who are here in September will know that more than the creation of all this, what I'm particularly personally interested in is this political agenda I have, that is data analysis, right? So you know, to see then what we have in terms of content, what happens in terms of discourse, what happens in terms of network flows. But I don't want to jump the gun. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. This is what I'm interested in. I can't get to any of this unless there's content to analyze, unless there's quite a bit of discourse to go through, unless there are various examples of network flows. But the data analysis, I think, should lead to the acquisition of not only further contributions, but also the expansion of the database or databases beyond the obviously related entries. And this will clearly relate to further academic research, which is something, you know, I'll tell you a little bit about before I shut up. I don't know if everybody has a program for the next 2 days. So this will help you decide, you know, when you want to step out and grab a couple of pastizzi or something or other, which is something I know that one or two of you are actually dying to do already. So the workshops that Tony Grimaud will be leading will be today and tomorrow at 2, at 3, and at 4. And the idea here is nurturing and sustaining communities of practice. Anyone who will go to that will find out what's in store for them. The IPR seminar I was talking about that Janine will be running will be addressing intellectual property rights issues, building on what she presented to us last September. But I personally, if there isn't any other main engagement beyond her presentation, what I would really like to focus on a little bit for my own benefit, if nothing else, is to understand a little more how database rights work, because, you know, I haven't really spent much time with that. There will be a closed meeting at 3:30 today, but that will be up here while there's workshops still going on downstairs, which won't be closed, of course. And this is to discuss the interest we have in applying for funding through the EU Culture Program. And those of you who are to be at that meeting know who you are. Well, at least I would hope so. Then tomorrow, Michael Bujeya, who's not here right now, but who's also one of the founding directors of the M3P Foundation, and Alex will open the session tomorrow. It will mostly be Michael, and Alex will be the shoulder on whose shoulders Michael will be standing, apparently, or something like that. But there's two of those sessions. The first is a presentation. The second is more of a discussion and an informal kind of thing. It's also at around that same time that there will be an open workshop, almost like a walk-in rather than something that's specifically organized downstairs. We're very thrilled to have with us Jez Collins from the Birmingham Popular Music Archive. And Jez is gracious enough to take the 10:30 slot tomorrow morning. And we'll see about that, won't we? And, well, we'll get to that in a sec. And then we have the technical roundtable at 2 o'clock on Saturday with my colleague from the University of Hull here, Darren Stevens, who is the person who made what you see from the basis of the M3P wiki available, you know. So he's the one to thank or blame for anything you like or not on the wiki. But no, that's a bit unfair, because I think we've worked very collaboratively on this, even though Darren's the one who does the dirty work, I would say. Is that a fair enough assessment there? Kind of, yeah. And Saviors and Meat will be joining us as well from the University of Malta. And he'll probably be here later today as well, I hope. Then tomorrow afternoon at the end, I'm hoping to, you know, have a discussion with any one of us who's still here tomorrow or other people who may join us. So rather than take, you know, generic questions or generic discussions today or tomorrow during the day, we'll save this. And it's very likely that this will be a combined session down in the studio with what will happen from 4 o'clock onwards in the workshop. So we'll play that by ear. There's also a set of evening events. We're running an oral history. I'm not sure which one it is, to be quite honest, with the Gallia family at the National Archives in Rabat at 7. This isn't an event that has been publicized heavily, and the reason is that it's almost experimental in nature. I'm meeting Sammy and Doreen Gallia along with Dominic and Ben Gallia, as well as Leontine, who's their niece or cousin, depending on who they are in that family. And so it will be looking at a living family musical history, if you will. And they'll be playing things and singing songs as well. This will happen tonight at the National Archives in Rabat. Also tonight at 10 at VGen in Pacheville, we'll be running the second of our You Rarely Hear This on the Radio gigs. Tonight's one is called La Maltilla, and the reason it's called that is because we've assembled three acts that perform only in Maltese. And the genres are quite different from each other. We have Pupita Lob, who are just old-school punk, and they don't get played on the radio simply because they don't even have recordings of any of their songs, aside from the fact that I don't think that many of the words that they use are allowed by the broadcasting authority on the radio. A duo Kukanya, that's not a duo, they're actually a trio, but they're a DIY folk punk acoustic combo that just came. They do mostly covers of popular Maltese songs, but they give them their own twist. The members include, because sometimes they're also four or five, but they're never two, but they're called Duo Kukanya. their main singer is Justin Gallia, who some of you will know him either from Voices or from Big Ben Brothers or from PDM, Plato's Dream Machine. the main guitarist in there is Deli, Steve Delia from Bracuni and others. I think he's downstairs right now helping set up for tomorrow's gig, which we'll get to in a second. And Claire Tonna is the other singer involved in this. And sometimes I think Andrew, her father, will also be on accordion with them. Anyway, I'm really looking forward to this. And then Chicul Poplu, which is a cabaret act that Alex Vella Gregory has been parading for the last several months, which according to Tony Grimaud, we could not afford not to have on the bill tonight. And, you know, if Tony likes it, well, then I like it probably. Mm-hmm. So that's the night. And then tomorrow at 8, there's the launch for Mark Gallia's album, which will happen downstairs in the music room. And then we will be going off to Jampula at about midnight, hopefully to catch South Central live. And all this is being filmed, which is what we're able to do through the support from the Malta Arts Fund of the Malta Council for Culture and the Arts. So communities of practice, which is something that I spoke a bit about last September as well, is now what Tony Grimaud is focusing on. And this is the sort of stuff that will be not directly, but very essentially dealt with in the workshops. I won't bother you, you know, with going much into this, but when we do publish the proceedings of this conference, there will be a bit that we'll write about this. Also, this idea of going beyond the initial geographic area, which is something that is now becoming very evident through two ways. One is our direct engagement with the Birmingham Popular Music Archive, but also looking even beyond that in expanding this towards at least a European dimension through something like the EU Culture Program, for example. But again, you know, looking at the power of networking and how it works, designing open environments, this kind of stuff, is what we're after. And also, this idea of what goes on in the Mediterranean and the Maltese diaspora, which is clearly something that both Andrew Alamango and Steve Borch are very interested in their own work, is something that plays very much into this, you know, we cannot be isolated into just what goes on in these islands, even in terms of what we hear in these islands. And other similar projects clearly are the ones that I've mentioned at other times, but now at the top of these lists is clearly the Birmingham Popular Music Archive, but also, you know, others that we don't necessarily have any direct connection with yet. But because they all seek to preserve endangered cultural memory for future generations, I think these are our kindred spirit, if that's the right term, you know, to use. Anyway, this is a slide I've prepared for tomorrow's session in terms of technical considerations, which I'll flesh up again at the beginning of that round table. For now, I'll just skip through it, if that's okay there. Yeah. Also, the idea that there's critical issues that we clearly need to engage with, at least from an academic perspective, which is what my day job really is, you know, but this stuff is being handled through specially developed postgraduate research studentships, and we have a number of these now. You know, Tony Grimaud's work on fostering and nurturing communities of practice, looking at the M3P approach, Steve Borch's work on recuperating and preserving Maltese folk music, you know, in the context of the M3P, of course. Andrew, who's about to embark on a comparative study of three Maltese musicians, again, in one way or another, in the context of the M3P. But also some related work, you know, Alex's work with blogging as disruption and renegotiation of the hegemony in this country, you know, I think has something to tell us about all sorts of things, as well as Carl Gallia's, all right, Mario? As well as Carl Gallia's work on shifting behaviors with smartphone use, I think is also something to tell us about, you know, the way people use technology, at least. Anyway, there's lots of other areas I'm hoping we'll go into in the coming years, but I'm going to leave it at that as such. And, well, I think a pretty face always helps at the end. So I'll leave where I started last September There's me with my great grandmother, who would have been around 90 something back then. I was probably 4 months old, being told. This is my godsend great grandmother, Marie Grima. And there's me. I probably haven't soiled my nappies yet, so that's why I have the big smile. But this is why I do all this in the end, because, you know, I have nothing except this picture that reminds me of her. And I wish I had more. And because there wasn't ways to preserve these memories, they're all gone. Yeah? All right. Okay. I think we're doing okay for time. Yeah? More or less. See? Not bad. Not bad. Don't try this at home. I'm a trained professional, kids. Seriously. So unless there are any questions for clarification or anything that's pressing on your mind that you'd like to ask me, Deb, we can go ahead and move to our first seminar, which is this seminar on intellectual property rights. In here with Jeanine, whereas down in the studio next door to the music room is where Tony and Alex will be running the series of workshops this afternoon. I don't know who in this room is planning to be at those workshops, or who would rather stay here and discuss database rights with Jeanine. I would recommend that if you're saying, what's that again? I would highly recommend the workshops that Tony has prepared and which Alex will be helping him with downstairs. And we can leave it at that for now.